Good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. We're going to read and then put a finger on Romans chapter 10, okay? Acts chapter 8. Let's read 8:25. Okay, so Acts 8:25. And so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." When Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Now let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, we're going to read verse 13. It says, "Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things.' However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?'" And verse 17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Amen. So we've been talking, just yesterday, just kind of in response to the baptism service, and just talking about the drama of salvation, the mystery. I guess that would be probably a better way of saying it, the mystery of how does someone get saved? You know, how is it that you can be in a church service and you can have brothers or people very similar to one another. One person will receive the message, one person will reject the message. Or many times you have a difficult circumstance happen in someone's life. One person, through that circumstance, will really draw close to God, and the other person will get very angry with God and reject him. This could be a husband and wife situation or whatnot, very similar backgrounds. But it goes into this mystery. And so we just want to spend this week and just look at some of these poignant moments in the scriptures where we have these incidences where people come to faith in Christ and what that means and, you know, just kind of digging a little bit of what that's like. And so in Acts, we're introduced to Philip. Remember, Philip in chapter 6 was one of the seven guys that they had chosen. They were the first deacons. And I know deacons in church is a very exalted, especially if you grew up in a Korean church or an Asian church, they have all these titles and whatnot. The literal definition of a deacon was actually table washer. And so they were like the first waiters. And all they basically did is they waited on the widows and made sure that there was a proper proportion of food given to everyone, not just the Jewish ones, but also the Gentile widows also received their portion. And so these were the first ones, and so Philip was one of them. And so then Luke will actually write about two of these guys of the seven. And so first we hear about Stephen, and Stephen is martyred. And next thing you know, we hear about Philip. And so Philip comes, he goes to Samaria, and really amazing thing, revival breaks out in Philip in Samaria. Actually, you can actually do a really good leadership analysis simply by looking at Philip. And one of the things to me that really amazes me about Philip more than anything else is that Philip is in the midst of revival. In other words, I mean, this guy, he started it. And then the other disciples come in and they kind of mop up and they're cleaning up and taking it to a whole nother level. And then God tells Philip, Philip, I want you to go somewhere else. You know how difficult that is to do? I mean, you're the guy who starts the whole thing. You're the guy that's so intricately involved in all this. And then when it really starts kicking the gear, God says, Philip, why don't you move on, go somewhere else? If you actually look at leadership transition, it really has nothing to do with this, but I just feel really, really blessed by Philip in this way. When you look at leadership transition and people moving on different things, usually people move on when everything's been exhausted, when the relationships are rocky. You know, people move on because they're tired of the people. They move on because there's conflict. But Philip moved on when it was great. I mean, it was happening. Being in Samaria is the place to be. And so Philip, he's in this place, and God says, Philip, I want you to go somewhere else. Because there's something else I want you to do. And really, it's the incredible obedience of Philip to really follow alongside. I personally believe, because obviously I'm talking about witnessing today, I believe that has to be the single greatest factor in terms of our witness as followers of Christ. It's obedience. It's that willingness to obey whatever he asks us to do. A lot of times, the obedience is really inconvenient. Have you ever been a time where you're rushing off to a meeting, you know, you had very important engagements, and then you hear Holy Spirit say, hey, why don't you go talk to that guy over there? What? Lord, don't you know I'm late to a meeting? This is important. This is my livelihood. This is my relationship. This is all these things. But it's one of these things. For whatever reason, I don't know if God tests us, or I don't know what. I mean, God's doing something, but he seems to find the most inconvenient time to ask us to walk in obedience. Because I think that's precisely what obedience is. A lot of times, obedience is doing things that you really don't want to do, but you just obey. Right? I mean, obedience is also doing things you want to do as well, okay? So I don't want you to miss that thing. But something, when we talk about real, true obedience, it's actually inconveniencing yourself in things that you don't want to do. And that's what Philip's all about obeying God. I mean, it was so inconvenient for Philip to obey the Lord. I mean, revival's breaking out. People are getting saved. They're going village to village. I mean, he's spanning out this whole area of Samaria. Signs and wonders are taking place. I mean, this is an amazing thing that's happening. He's being promoted from being a table washer, right, to being an evangelist. And, you know, and he's in this whole mess. And God says, hey, I want you to go down this. And the word there, it says, descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. And mine says, parentheses, this is a desert road. This basically meant he was sending Philip to the backwoods of nothing. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, I want you to go to this big city and there's going to be a lot more people. He's basically saying, I want you to go to this tiny road that goes nowhere. And it's just go hang out there for a little bit of time. This is a desert road. It's the wilderness. And so the Lord speaks, and the incredible thing about this passage is Philip obeys. Isn't that awesome? Philip obeys the Lord and says, okay, yeah, I'll go down this road. And sure enough, the crazy thing is that when the Lord comes in those moments and it may seem like an inconvenience, man, I'm telling you, it's a divine appointment. Can you imagine? So he's on this road. Who would imagine that such a regal figure would be down this road? And all of a sudden, he starts walking down this road. He just simply obeys God. He starts walking down this road, and next thing you know, he sees this procession of chariots. And all this, I mean, this was Candace, who was the queen, very, very popular, a lot of wisdom, all these things. And this is one of her right-hand man. And he's going down this road, and the Spirit says, go catch up to that chariot. So he catches up to the chariot. And then, sure enough, the guy's reading Isaiah. And not only is he just reading Isaiah, he's reading Isaiah, the passages relating to Jesus. And so, I mean, can you imagine the timing? It's a divine appointment. I mean, it's something that God is doing. If you've ever taken experiencing God, and if you haven't, we encourage you to do that. One of the lessons that you learn is there is none righteous, there's not one. No one seeks after God. In your life, anytime someone is seeking after God, someone asks you about church, someone asks you about the Bible or faith or any of these things, you can know that God is at work. Because no one seeks after God on their own. There is none righteous, not even one. No one seeks after the Lord. It actually, the Bible tells us over and over again that it's the Father that draws them to the Son. And so whenever this is happening in your life, you can rest assured, oh, God is at work. You have a colleague that comes up to you and asks, hey, what are you doing on Sunday? And you say, oh, I'm going to church. Church? What's that? Immediately put your antenna up and say, oh, God is at work. It must be maybe a nonchalant question in your mind, but God is doing something. And so he takes Philip, and next thing you know, the eunuch is reading Isaiah, totally doesn't understand what he's reading, and this conversation coming up in verse 30. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? I mean, it's such a simple question. And he goes, no, I have no clue what I'm talking about. And you could tell this eunuch was very kind of knew and understood Jewish custom and ideas. And he's going through this, and he says, well, is he talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else? You know, I mean, kind of very good theological questions, Bible questions in this way. And then Philip opens his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, let me touch on something here. That's why we read the Romans passage. A lot of people talk about the gospel, and let's just be very clear for a moment here. The gospel is a life that you live out. There's definitely that part of it, okay? But when we talk about gospel, the gospel is good news. In other words, the gospel is always something that's proclaimed. And so there's a school of thought that says, you've heard the quote of Francis of Assisi, a very famous quote, always preach the gospel, and then when you absolutely have to, use words. We've heard this before, right? Actually, that's a bit incorrect. We understand what Francis is saying. In other words, live the life. But when we talk about gospel, I mean, the Bible talks about gospel. The gospel means proclamation. And so it's good news that's proclaimed. And so there is definitely an aspect where we live our life, okay? And that more than anything else is more of a credibility issue, not necessarily a gospel issue. You have credibility to speak, but the key is speaking. And so he comes in this place and he opens his mouth. The gospel, there should always be a presentation. There is always some form of proclamation that happens. Sure, people see your life and, oh, you're a Christian and you live such a great life and all these things. You're moral and all these things. But see, if it only stays that way, there's a lot of moral people. There's a lot of good people. Mormons are more moral than we are. You know, and you go through all these things, and so there's a point where there's a proclamation. I think when that's happening, when we're expressing good news, that's the gospel. The gospel is living life. I don't want to miss sight of that, but there's a bigger thing that happens here. And so he opens his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preaches Jesus to him. What I take two takeaways from this little passage here. He starts from where the eunuch is at. In other words, he starts at the place where the eunuch is. The eunuch is in Isaiah, and so he's not understanding Isaiah. He starts there. The aspect of this is when we're witnessing to people, start wherever they're at. If they're talking about a scripture, okay, they're talking about a book, okay, something in their life, it doesn't matter. Always let the first reference point be where they're at, and then introduce Jesus into all things. Right? Starting wherever the person's at, you start there. If the person is coming to you and he's dealing with his family, dealing with an issue of his family, okay, start there. Right? Minister to that need, whatever is going on, and then bring Jesus into the picture of all things. Right? So he starts from this scripture. So you can draw from, he opens the scriptures up, he goes, and then he preaches Jesus to him. There's a proclamation that comes out of this place. And then the eunuch goes and he says, man, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip turns and says, man, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the drama of salvation. We don't know exactly what happens. God is working behind the scenes. God is doing all these things. All he asks of us is to come into obedience. You may not know that simple nudge of your heart or that simple leading of the Spirit throughout your day. It could lead into this great, great adventure. Can you imagine what would have happened if Philip was doing his ministry, and he was so caught up in ministry and ministering to the people, and the Spirit of the Lord said, hey, I want you to go down this road. And Philip, no, I don't want to. Yeah, I like it here, Lord. It's fun here. It's good for my family here. This is a great place for me to be at. I don't want to go anywhere. Can you imagine what happened? It would have totally lost out on what God was doing in his life and for the whole nation of Ethiopia and the influencing things that are happening here. But you know, throughout your day, don't disregard the simple leading of the Spirit and just the grace of God, because he wants us to minister to people. He wants, remember yesterday's devotion ended off, and Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost, when he's talking to Zacchaeus. And that's really the whole point of church in many ways. It is to train and equip the saints, but it's for the work of the ministry of going out and reaching people for his kingdom. All right, so let's close our eyes. And great, great passage. We can learn so much from this. If I want to just do one word or one that we can focus on today is obedience. Radical obedience. Inconveniencing ourselves for Christ. Just think, that inconvenience could very well be the key to the most rewarding adventure of your life. You know, I look back in my life. Some of the greatest adventures I've had was really birthed out of a simple obedience. Honestly, many times, things I didn't even want to do. I like to say that I was a very faithful follower of Christ, and Jesus said something, and I said, yes, sir, and I did it. Now, most of the time, I complained, I delayed. But those moments where I got my act together and I obeyed, it really opened up to some of the greatest adventures of my life. The Bible tells us that he does not regard sacrifice. He says, I'd rather have obedience. Sacrifice meaning offering. And so if Jeff leads us in a song, I want to encourage you to go before the Lord. And how is your obedience to God? Is there a sensitivity to Holy Spirit in His leading and His guidance over our lives?
I'll bring you more than a song. More than I saw Jesus.
Let's pray for our hearts to be open to the Lord. Let's pray for a heart of obedience, a real sensitivity. In fact, I encourage you to spend a time right now and just say, Lord, I give you permission to interrupt my day. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to invade my life, even when it's so inconvenient, God. Because I know that you have a great adventure lined up. And so, Lord, I'm just willing to obey you no matter what. No matter how nonsensical it is, how much it doesn't make sense, no matter how inconvenient it is for me, Lord, I just want to obey you. I'll just have a dialogue with Holy Spirit right now as we pray together.
Let's obey the Lord by praying for our friends, especially those who are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word over their lives. Just a little update on my aunt. She was able to digest some food miraculously, so they released her from the hospital the other day. So praise God. Let's continue to pray for healing.
Let's pray for those who are ill but also need to know Jesus. Let's pray that the gospel would be presented to each one of these people in a very real, coherent, skillful way, that they would receive Christ, just as the Ethiopian did. Let's pray for these people.
Let's pray for our friends that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for God's healing hand. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision in their life. Let's go to our mission prayer focus this morning. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for the country. Pray for our friends there. Pray for Grace and Ashley and their ministry at Bloom. Pray for Pastor O, vision to reality, especially as he needs to finish his PhD. Pray for Pastor Tang at New Life Church. And let's ask God to bless our friends ministering there, to really even prepare for next year's summer missions as we go to these places. Let's just cover the country and ask for God's spirit to breathe over this land. Let's pray for our board, myself, Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Brian, and Mon as a secretary. And let's ask Holy Spirit to lead and guide and just continue just to breathe life into this group as we lead the church. Let's pray. Let's pray for the men and women's ministries. Pray for the leaders. And there's an outreach event this Saturday where the men are going out to YWAM to help clean and do some work out there. Let's pray for that time. Let's just lift up and pray that men and women would gather together, their prayer meetings, and that a real significant ministry would take place. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Pray for a new building. God would really provide. Continue to pray for our vision fund that we continue to raise money. Pray for a donor. This is, again, a word that we receive from Cindy Jacobs. And so let's ask God to really release the finances and the place and everything we need to continue to expand as a church. Let's pray. Let's pray for House Church meeting tonight. Causeway Bay Island, Tai Hang, Robin Hood, Elements, and Happy Valley. Let's pray for presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Pray that people really earnestly share their hearts and their testimonies with one another and really minister to each other effectively. Let's pray tonight. Thank you. God, we bless you this morning. We thank you for the text, God. We thank you that you desire obedience, God, more than sacrifice. And so help us, each one of us, God, to be sensitive, Lord, to your leading, to really allow, God, each of us to step into the Spirit-filled life, God, the Spirit-led life. Lord, we give our day to you, God. We give you permission to interrupt us, Lord, throughout this day. Lord, that we may walk in the adventure of God. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.